Election night in Minnesota continues on News Radio 830 WCCO, WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenaby. Polls in Alaska have just closed. It's now just a matter of counting all the votes. Donald Trump showing that he has a realistic path to victory. The projected winner in five battleground states, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, Georgia, and Iowa. He's leading in Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton, the projected victor in Virginia, Colorado, and Nevada. A key state that we're watching, Pennsylvania, with 20 electoral votes. And it's razor-thin close right now, 95% of the expected vote in. As far as projected electoral counts, Trump leading with 244 to Clinton's 215. Of course, 270 needed to win. Let's go live to Donald Trump's headquarters in New York City and correspondent Barry Bagnetto.
While it's still mathematically possible Trump could lose, no one celebrating here at this Midtown Manhattan hotel believes he will. And no one has left as they await an appearance by him on a stage filled with world flags. That's appropriate. There's been a global reaction in financial markets to just the expectation that Trump would win. Exit polls show many voters have serious problems about his character and honesty, but that didn't stop the working class revolt that apparently will send him to the White House. CBS's Steve Futterman joins us live from Clinton headquarters.
Barry, just 24 hours ago, Hillary Clinton was wrapping up her campaign with supreme confidence of election. What a difference the day makes. Now the signs point to a much different direction. People here at Clinton campaign headquarters despondent. Can they accept a Donald Trump as president?
It will be 4 years that I will accept our president, but I will fight like hell to get someone in office who I believe in for the next election.
This is certainly a night they didn't expect here at Clinton headquarters. Jim?
Trump's strength tonight has been a surprise to many, certainly to pollsters. Let's go live to CBS News polling analyst Fred Backus.
Jim, exit polls show a late shift in favor of Donald Trump in Michigan. While voters who made up their minds before a month ago favor Clinton slightly, Trump does lead among voters who made up their minds in the last week by 13 points. And a similar shift was seen both in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But just 12% of these late deciders say they favor their candidate strongly. 4 in 10 say they're casting their vote because they dislike the other candidate.
If anyone is nervous about tonight's outcome, it is investors. Wall Street certainly doesn't like uncertainty. There were 9 straight down days on the markets before the FBI announced no charges against Clinton on her emails. Then the markets rallied for a better than 2% gain. Right now, all the futures are down, most of the foreign markets also. All eyes will be on Wall Street Wednesday. Democrats were hoping to take control of at least one house of Congress. That's not happening. CBS News projecting the Republicans will hold on to control of the House. And so far, just one gain in the Senate for Democrats. Republican Mark Kirk has lost to Democrat Tammy Duckworth in Illinois. Republicans have held on to seats in places like North Carolina, Iowa, Utah, Indiana, and Florida. Marco Rubio easily winning re-election in Florida. This is CBS News.
Is Election Night in Minnesota, sponsored by Hamline University on News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO.com.
It is officially November 9th, and at this point, we do not have a president-elect. It is a night when so much has moved in favor of Donald Trump. There are a number of states that are still out there. Hello, Jordana. We're doing Facebook Live right here. Hello. Is anybody up at this point? You better be up at this point.
They're watching on Facebook. Yeah.
We plan on staying here until Dave Lee comes in a matter of minutes. But we also have state races, Adam Carter. So where are we at the state level, both congressionally with the state House and state Senate?
We certainly do. We have some congressional races decided and House and Senate races decided. We have local parties happening right now, including at the Mall of America, down at the Radisson Blue there at the Mall of America. Susie Jones is at the Republican headquarters. Susie, what's the latest from Republican headquarters tonight?
Well, Adam, no one is going home here tonight in Bloomington, where Republicans are jubilant watching the results come in. Republican Representative Tom Emmer had this to say to the crowd a short time ago.
If the Cubs can win a World Series in 108 years, Minnesota can turn red for a night for the presidential race, eh?
Now, Adam, there were 3 hotly contested congressional races in Minnesota, still undecided, the 8th district race between Stuart Mills and Rick Nolan, and the second between Jason Lewis and Democrat Angie Craig. And it looks like a Republican, Eric Paulson, the incumbent, has won again tonight. He was on the stage earlier this evening. Also, just on the stage now, Kurt Dowd, the Republican Speaker of the House, celebrating the fact that he called it a historic night, Adam, in that they defended the Republican House and looking and taking control of the Senate and keeping a check in balance of Governor Dayton's final 2 years in office. We go now to Edgar Linares, who is live at the Democratic Party in downtown Susie, Minneapolis.
That's right, Susie. And the mood here, probably starkly different than what you're seeing there at the Republican headquarters. More than three quarters of the people have left the ballroom here at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Minneapolis, but a hopeful, nervous few have stayed behind, saying they're going to stay here until the very last vote is counted. Now, the night started off very positive as results started trickling in. The mood completely changed. Now, Christina Saran has tears in her eyes at this point.
You know, this is not how I expected it would go tonight. I was feeling pretty confident before, and we've seen a lot of amazing Minnesota leaders come up and speak to us, and it's giving me a little glimmer of hope. But it's hard not to feel discouraged that so many people feel so differently. There's just too much at stake for too many people.
That same emotion running through many people here. There's a lot of hugs, a lot of small conversations happening on the side as they continue watching the coverage on television. The theme right now, every time someone takes the microphone, is we need to come together. We need to learn to work together. Live in downtown Minneapolis, Edgar Linares, WCCO.
Also of note, a statewide constitutional amendment question to Minnesota voters today. Minnesota voters have overwhelmingly approved an amendment that hands off lawmaker pay decisions to an independent commission. Chad.
Adam, I'm going to go to one of the exit polls here from Politico. Bring you in, bring Brian and Catherine in and Blois in. When they were asked, and I'll start with you first, Adam, to describe how you feel about Election Day. How do you feel about Election Day? The number one response from 85%, want it over. Want it over.
Well, hate to break the news to
exactly
81%.
85.
It's 85. It ain't over yet.
No.
And I don't think it is going to be over tomorrow.
No. And Brian McClung, you know what the last emotion was about the Election Day? Happy. 25% cited happy. Now, I think the Trump folks are fairly happy at this point.
Well, another interesting election or exit poll number that I saw showed that Donald Trump's unfavorable numbers were still over 60%.
Yeah,
but 61. Something like 21% of the people who said they didn't like him voted for him.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that is stunning. And Hillary's numbers actually improved a little bit from where they were during the campaign. I think she was at like 52 or 54% unfavorable in the Election Day exit poll. So she was, you know, viewed more favorably. I mean, still a majority of people didn't like either of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and somehow, you know, yet we're seeing these results here tonight, even though he was more disliked. He's finding a path to victory, especially in rural parts of these key states.
Catherine, we have never had a race where both candidates, their unfavorability was over 50%. It has never happened. We have an election with these two candidates going against each other, the two most unpopular candidates ever. And as we sit here at 12:08, at this point, Donald Trump has more routes to win. But we still don't know where we're at. What does it say about if he is able to overcome the high level of unfavorability? If 61% of the public is saying they have an unfavorable view about him before he serves one day in office, it would add to how just inexplicable this whole night would be.
Inexplicable is about right. this just goes back to how unpollable this race is, and pollsters are going to have to figure something out to figure out how to
I think his line about them will be you're fired.
I mean, things are changing. People use cell phones. That data, those lists are really expensive. It's really hard to get. But in recent weeks, we've seen a shift in Hillary supporters were not just voting against Trump. People were saying we're voting for Hillary because we're excited about Hillary. And Trump supporters were still mostly saying, well, we don't really like Trump, but we really, really don't like Hillary. And so it was more of a negative vote against her. And I mean, even in exit polling today, how unpopular he is as a candidate, and yet has overperformed in like everywhere. And so it's very, very confusing at this moment. And maybe that's because it's late, but it's also just not what anyone saw coming.
Can I stay with this? And I'll get to Blois in a second, but Catherine, I want to stay with you. When we think about what took place October 28th, that's when the news came out that in the investigation of Anthony Weiner, that the location of emails that potentially included Secretary of State Clinton and James Comey and sending information to Congress, following up on after he testified months before, saying that if he found new information, he would reopen the investigation. He put that out, and then eventually we would find out that there were up to 650,000 emails. They put together a software program. They went through it. And on November 6th, this past Sunday, at about the same time Donald Trump was here, James Comey said, we're standing by our same position, that it was reckless, that it was haphazard, but there was no violation of the law. When you look at where polls were at about October 28th, she had a bigger lead than she did November 6th. Now, maybe it was going to get closer either way, but there are going to be a lot of Democrats who are going to point the finger at James Comey and say, why did you have to say anything if nothing changed?
I mean, I said that. Many Democrats said that at the time that it happened. It was. He puts out this letter saying, well, maybe we might have found something somewhere. And there was never anything came of it. He never was explicit about it. And I'm resisting the urge to blame everyone else, including Comey, for where we're at tonight, because in some ways, I think the email issue had been baked in. People had made up their minds.
Yep.
What we're seeing tonight is not, it doesn't feel like, you know, defection of Democrats away from Hillary because of the email issue. That's not what we're seeing. We're seeing people turn out motivated by other issues, not just this particular campaign thing, which I have lots of opinions on, and I certainly wish we had not spent the last year talking about Hillary Clinton's emails when it was decided months ago that there was no crime committed. She apologized. We should have moved on. Certainly wish that was not the conversation in the last weeks of the campaign. At the same time, I don't think what we're seeing tonight so far, we'll find out, has to do with that and more to do with economic issues, racial justice issues, immigration issues in rural parts of the country.
Blois, let's get to the other big October surprise. That's when also on a Friday, when the Access Hollywood tape came out early in October with Donald Trump and Billy Bush, and a lot of people felt, as Adam talked about, this was another death knell, that you could not overcome not only these words, but the description of your action. And you heard Donald say this was locker room talk. Are we going to find out in the end that he was able to overcome that also?
I think the way that it's shaping up right now is that he certainly did overcome most of that. I think back to the pollster point, because this is how we were all watching it. We were watching it in our bubbles. We were watching the media. We were thinking, can he come at this? And then we watched the poll numbers respond. And the poll numbers did respond after that tape was released.
Yeah.
But the difference, I think, here is that one of the filters that pollsters use is likely voters. And they look at people who have voted in previous presidential elections. Yep. And I think when it's all said and done, the difference here is that people who don't usually vote showed up,
yeah,
and they voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
And they're not the ones who are going to be polled.
Yep.
They're probably not the ones who are going to answer their phone when a pollster calls. I would even argue a lot of them might not even have phones.
Yeah.
When it looks like where some of these are coming from. They're not the kind of people on Twitter. They're not in the bubble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think ultimately that's what it's going to come down to. And both of the candidates overcame a lot of negativity in the race. I think ultimately, I said yesterday to Dave Lee, it's starting to feel a lot like 2000, and Trump had a lot of momentum in the end.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was from the Comey thing or whatever, the populism just started to rise above the pundits.
Let's do this. Let's talk about one of these states that potentially could put Donald Trump over the top or continue to allow Hillary Clinton a path to victory. Let's go to Detroit from WWJ. Vicki Thomas is good enough to join us. Vicki, where does the race stand from your knowledge of it, the polling, and the parts of the state that are still out there to be still counted, the last few votes which are out there?
All right. As it relates to Michigan, Chad, a lot of folks still believe that Hillary Clinton can pull off a victory here because the Detroit vote has not been counted as of yet. And some folks, I am told, were actually headed down to the city clerk's office from the Detroit NAACP to find out what's taking so long with the count of the ballots here in Detroit. So many folks are still optimistic that she will be able to pull out a victory when those votes are tallied. In terms of the path that she has now, it does not look very good. Many of the people here at the Democratic camp at MGM Grand Detroit Hotel Casino in the ballroom are leaving now. Probably about 200 are left inside, and they are still holding out hope that Hillary Clinton can pull this off.
Vicki, we saw a number of reports from afar, but you know this firsthand, that there were people in line an extraordinary long time after polling normally would close. Can you elaborate on that story?
Yeah, sure. We were reporting, all the media outlets here were reporting all day the long lines at the polls, people waiting in line for 45 minutes to an hour. I was told by someone that they waited for about 2 hours, got to the polling place at 6:30 in the morning to make sure that they were, you know, first in line. And by the time that they left, the line was wrapped around the polling place. So, the turnout, was pretty decent. The mayor, Mayor Mike Duggan, said that it was certainly below the last presidential election, but at that point you had President Barack Obama running, and he had bailed out the auto industry, so a lot of people did head to the polls to cast their ballot for him in that election.
Last thing, Vicki, I've got about 90 seconds left. A number of states we've talked to people where a mandatory recount is set up if the margin is within 0.5%, so half of 1%. Do you know when a mandatory recount kicks in Michigan?
I think it's around that same percentage. I'm not 100% sure. I think we've ever been in a situation where we had to go there, so I'm not 100% sure. I would tell you, though, that typically in this area, I don't think that there were any issues at the polls that would dictate that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it might be state law, though. If the margin is so close, it is an automatic. Vicki, thank you. So outside of the Detroit area, are there other major areas where you're still waiting for the votes, or is that the specific area that most people are looking at right now?
Yeah, that is the main one. I mean, there's so much concern, like I said, that there were folks headed to the Elections Commission to find out what's taking so long for those votes to come in. And certainly we all know that Michigan is definitely a factor now in the outcome of this race.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Vicki.
Best. No problem, Chad.
Continue the coverage all throughout the night. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing different numbers. No one has projected this state yet. Now, Brian, you did see one
outlet that did project Pennsylvania, but they're just the one outlet, correct?
Yeah, so it's Decision Desk, which is a organization that does exit polling and projections, and they're projecting that Pennsylvania will go for Trump, and that's the race.
That's
so that, they're calling the race, and so that's getting a lot of play on Twitter right now. A little bit of silver lining. Nevada has approved an initiative to legalize marijuana.
So
if you need to kind of chill out a little bit after this election,
yes,
you know, now that's in Vegas, yeah. Right? So now, you might not remember what happened in Vegas, so it's easier to leave those memories there.
Let me just jump in here because we'll get back to Blois. We'll get back to Catherine, Brian, Jordana, and Adam. But once again, let's go to a CBS update, the latest on the presidential race.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
And within striking distance now of the U.S. presidency, political outsider Donald Trump needs less than 30 electoral votes to score one of the biggest upsets in political history. CBS News now projecting Arizona and Wisconsin leaning toward a Trump win there. Among states still out, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Trump showing unexpected strength in all. And he leads the popular vote as well to his New York headquarters and our Barry Bagnato.
Happy but impatient supporters here await the results that they expect will put Trump over the top. Red hats with his slogan, Make America Great Again, are being waved, and boisterous shouts can be heard in hallways inside this Manhattan hotel, a couple of blocks from Trump Tower, where the Republican presidential nominee has been watching the returns with family members. Much quieter at Clinton headquarters here, CBS's Steve Futterman.
Barry, Hillary Clinton supporters came here a few hours ago with such fervent hope that she would be elected and there would be a giant, boisterous celebration. So it's understandable when you see their reaction now. Anger, sadness, and even some tears. A few still hold out hope for a miracle, but most believe this race is over. Tom?
Third-party voting also apparently a factor in Florida and North Carolina. And with a late result in Pennsylvania, where Republican Pat Toomey has just won re-election to the Senate, the Republicans also hold on to their control there, along with their hold on the House. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foti.
Election Night in Minnesota, sponsored by Hamlin University on News Radio 830 WCCO. You're listening to Election Night in Minnesota, live from the Carrier Heating Studio on News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO.com.
Let's talk about the state of Minnesota. I just want to plant this for 12:35 after we go to another CBS update. I'm just envisioning a couple days from now when, if it is President-elect Donald Trump, when he travels to the White House and meets President Obama, I mean, the love between the two, so we can get to that in a little bit. Adam, you want to explain Dakota County to me and what is taking place?
Well, I live there, Chad.
Your town.
If I had any say in it, they'd have their results in, but they're one of probably six or seven counties in Minnesota to have no results in.
They have zero resulted. This is Dakota County. This is a rather large county.
The only one in the metro.
Well, they sometimes say that South St. Paul is kind of like the Iron Range of the suburbs,
right?
So,
who has said that, by the way?
Who graduated from Sibley?
Yeah, exactly. Your Sibley warrior rival. Your crosstown rival there.
And this is a perpetual issue. With Dakota,
it has been in recent election cycles that Dakota County has been really slow. And it's really aggravating because there are lots of key state house races in Dakota County.
Yeah.
So you've got Roz Peterson, you've got a Burnsville, Lakeville. You've got an open seat where Tara Mack was serving. You've got Anna Wills. You got down into where Denny McNamara was serving in Hastings. So there's a lot, people are watching those seats.
The entire Jason Lewis Angie crew.
Right, mm-hmm. Jason Lewis Angie, right. That's a big, competitive
congressional race. So what percentage on the Craig Lewis race is in at this point? This is a metro area congressional race. Normally at this point, Kyle, you're telling me what? 51% at 12:25. That's embarrassing.
And Jason Lewis leads 50% to 41%. I think we talked about this off air.
Yeah, we did.
Independent Paula Overby is running at 8%.
Is that a shock?
It is a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's not, if you think about that district, it's a purple district, but it leans a little more conservative. So if you had Trump voters or Republicans who couldn't vote for Jason Lewis, especially women,
yeah,
or couldn't vote for Angie Craig, they had an alternative on who to vote for there. But again, we're still waiting for Dakota County, which it's a little deceptive at 51% because Dakota County is the population of the district.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a theme on Twitter right now among Minnesota political hacks. Like, hey, Dakota County, like, are any of the commissioners awake, right?
So what would their explanation be?
Well, I think they said on their website that they're working on the early vote. So I don't know what that means. Presumably, the early vote you had early, you could have fed that through, you know, right?
Doesn't I thought it's early. Isn't that
start on that one.
Isn't that evidence?
I don't know. It's, yeah, not a good thing.
Okay, so the leadership and who is the majority in the Senate and in the House? Where are we at right now? Could we see a flip in both? Could we see a flip in one?
House is going to stay Republican. Kurt Dowd's going to remain the Speaker. The Senate
is there any way that it remains Republicans and they would switch Dowd, or is he 100%?
No, not at all.
Well, there's a way.
Oh, really?
There's a way, but
there'll be chatter, I'm sure, in the coming days about that. Although if he just led his caucus to victory and maintained their majority, less likely. He's a bit safer.
Does this lead him even closer to running for the open gubernatorial seat?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Brian, any doubt about it?
Yeah, was that a pun for Speaker Dowd?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no question. I think he's going to be looking at a run for governor. You know, he's going to want to hold off on that. They've got a big legislative session coming up. So I think he'll do everything he can to kind of tamp that down while, you know, kind of also encouraging. It's that old, like, one hand. No, like, yes, please, applaud more.
Ask me that again.
So I think there will be some of that. But I think, you know, I think it looks like House Republicans are going to be in a very strong position and potentially are growing their majority.
By how much?
Is not what we expected. Maybe by just a seat or two.
Okay.
But even to hold or grow slightly beats the conventional wisdom, right? So it's kind of like earnings for a company, right? If you beat the predictions on the earnings, Kurt Dowd is beating the projections in that case. And in the Minnesota Senate, Boyce and I were just going over this. Republicans need to pick up 6 seats to take the majority in the Minnesota Senate. Now, here's what it looks like. It looks like they are likely to win 6 seats, but they are likely to lose one incumbent.
And the person they lost?
Senate Minority Leader David Hamm.
So it's hard to fathom. Of all seats they're going to lose, their leader.
It's not, I mean, for those of us watching it closely, we thought he was going to lose. We just didn't think they would pick up all those other seats necessarily. And so so they'll have a new minority leader if they remain in the minority, or a majority leader if they find another way to pick up a seat here, which changes the dynamics of that caucus overnight.
Well, and we talked about this kind of rural-urban split that's happening across the country and in Minnesota. We're seeing that, obviously, Trump overperforming in rural areas. This is what's happening in the Minnesota Senate is going to continue to exacerbate that, right? Of the 6 seats that Republicans are picking up in the Minnesota Senate, 5 of them are in greater Minnesota.
Yeah.
So it's becoming, and that's true in the Minnesota House as well. You know, it's a very, it's a majority of the Republicans are from greater Minnesota. In that majority caucus in the House. And now I think that'll be true in the Minnesota Senate for Republicans as well. And you'll have a very close divide, right? So if they're going to be one short, what you're looking at is probably a Minnesota Senate that is 34 Democrats, 33 Republicans.
Let me do this because we've got a minute before we go to CBS. What is this going to do for your former boss, the governor, with 2 years left and now barely the majority in the Senate and even a tougher battle in the House?
Look, he's focused on his priorities. He knows what he wants to get done in the last 2 years. He is not playing political games the same way that a lot of people in the legislature who are looking at running for governor are going to be making very political calculations. The governor cares only about doing what's best for the people of Minnesota. He'll work with anyone who's willing to work with him to get done what we need to get done, what the people want done. And he
path will be harder, though.
You know, it will be harder. The governor has never been more popular than when he was up against Republicans in the House and Senate. They make him look good. They make him look like the adult in the room. We'll see if this legislature is different than what we saw in 2011, but we'll see.
Let me jump in right here. We'll go back to CBS, and then when we return, more on the presidential race and where it stands.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
And Donald Trump appears to be in the driver's seat in the late vote counting, with projected wins in five of the battleground states: North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, Georgia, and Iowa. Wisconsin and Arizona leaning Trump. Hillary Clinton projected to win three of the battleground states: Virginia, Colorado, and Nevada, but the rest are toss-ups. The mood is not good at Clinton headquarters. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The faces are long. Some folks have had tears in their eyes, and we have seen many people leave, like at the end of a ball game when the home team is losing. She could still get there, but it seems the consensus in this crowd is that it's not likely.
And correspondent Margaret Brennan is outside the White House where a crowd is gathered.
You've got chants of Black Lives Matter. You've got anti-Donald Trump chants. You've got pro-Hillary chants. I see red, white, and blue balloons. There were some singing the American anthem.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Shenevy.
Minnesota's election station, News Radio 830, WCCO. This is Election Night in Minnesota on News Radio 830, WCCO, and WCCO.com.
Okay, so let's start on the presidential talk with what's going on. Dakota County, once again, I call it Carter Country. So we're not going to get results in Carter Country, Blois. What is the latest that we're hearing now?
Well, Kyle said he saw a tweet from David Montgomery of the Pioneer Press that said that Dakota County does not expect results until morning. That may have been modified to say precinct-level results, but there's a lot of people who live in Dakota County. It's critical in the Angie Craig, Jason Lewis race. It's critical in many suburban races. And when you look at the popular vote for president in Minnesota...
Take this in, folks. Where the numbers are at right now in the state of Minnesota...
47% for Hillary Clinton, 45% for Donald Trump.
Wow.
It's about a 60,000 vote lead and then some, but there's some key counties that I looked at. So, for instance, Olmsted County, Rochester, Mayo had gone blue over the last few years. She won Olmsted County 46-45 by only about 500 votes.
What would you have projected that if we would have had a conversation today at noon? What would you have thought the separation would have been?
53-47.
Right. Is that what you would say,
Catherine?
Yeah,
I would have guessed about that.
So yeah. Because of this, because of Dakota County not coming in, is it fair to say we're not going to have a presidential call in Minnesota until tomorrow morning?
I think that's very fair. We have no results out of Dakota County in any single race.
So part of what that says, Brian, if the Clinton folks were expecting the miracle of they still win Pennsylvania, they still win Michigan, they still win New Hampshire, what if it's our state, Minnesota, that is holding up the possibility of Hillary still getting to 270?
I mean, that sounds about right overall. I mean,
right.
What I've been talking to, the class that I'm teaching, and we do punditry, my theme in this has been that Minnesota is weird. We always do weird things in elections.
Yes, we do.
That is, I said, I don't know what's going to happen in this election. It's a really difficult election to try to project, but I know that Minnesota will do something weird. And so, there's a number of different scenarios that I talk about weird things that could happen. I guess I never thought that one of those would be, the county that has like the fourth largest population in the state would not report any election results at all. And as a result, we wouldn't be able to call the state. And at the same time, the rest of the country might end up essentially in a tie. It's about par for the course. I mean, we've given the world Jesse Ventura and Al Franken, and, we went from a Republican governor and all Democrat legislature to a Democrat governor and all Republican
legislature. Let's not forget 1990. I mean, 1990 was so remarkable. John Grunseth in the pool, sure. Arnie stepping in, the Wellstone upset.
Well, I think, it's weird. It's funny because some Democrat friends of mine were saying that at the time of the first presidential debate here, they thought that if Hillary Clinton beat Trump too badly, that was at the point in time when lots of people were calling on Trump to drop out of the race. And I talked to some people who said, you know, I think Hillary doesn't want to beat him too badly in this debate because she doesn't want Trump to actually drop out, because they were worried about that Grunseth scenario where if somebody drops out and you get somebody without the baggage, they could sail through. So, of course, that's not what we're seeing now. I mean, we're seeing that, you know, he's found a path to speak to people and pile up a bunch of Electoral College votes.
Speaking of that, so we'll believe we have another projection.
We do, Chad. The Associated Press calling Pennsylvania now for Donald Trump. That just coming across right now.
Okay, so let's take this in. Okay, Fox has the number at 254. Okay, that does not include Pennsylvania. If that is in sync, Blois Olson, that puts Donald Trump at 274. So we're picking and choosing a little bit on which media outlets are offering up projections. But if that is true, the 45th president of the United States is Donald J. Trump.
Yes, and that was the trend that we've started to see all night, and we kept saying that, you know, we'd wait for Arizona or we'd wait, and but we have Pennsylvania and Michigan out there, and we said that if he took either one of those, the race was essentially over. I have no doubt we're going to see recounts. I have no doubt we're going to probably see some lawsuits. But ultimately, the storyline is Washington and America is going to start to prepare for a transition. It's going to be a very tense transition. I think you said off air, just imagine the meeting between President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump. This is going to be politics like we've never seen before.
I cannot imagine that meeting. So, Adam, let's just repeat this part, because respected media outlets from AP to on the print side, Washington Post or New York Times, or then on the television from CBS, ABC, Fox, NBC, and then the cable nets. Different ones have made different projections. Are there any outlets right now that have them over 270? I don't think there are,
no,
right?
Nobody's declared.
Nobody's over 270. But if you would look at Fox, which is the highest one right now at 254, CBS and ABC are both at 244. Okay, if Fox gets to the point and they project like AP Pennsylvania, then they would be the first major outlet to go over 270.
And just for historical purposes, I mean, we talk about all these different these media outlets that project. Traditionally, AP is the most conservative to declare a winner. So the idea that they're declaring Pennsylvania will give confidence to these other media outlets to declare it.
Okay, so what you guys tell me, because you're looking at, what number is AP at with their electoral college? Can we look at that?
Yeah, it looks like they're at 264. So that would put him 6 votes shy.
So they're 10 votes short. Are they at Wisconsin that they have not projected and Fox has projected?
No, I think that does include. I think that does include Wisconsin.
Arizona's probably still out, right?
Yeah, I think Arizona's still out. So I'm not. Yeah, it's hard to tell, but I mean, and that's okay. Bloomberg is saying the same thing, which is that with Pennsylvania, that he would be 6 short of 270 right now. But I think there's still a discrepancy between some of the states that other organizations.
Well, let me just unpack that a little bit. So if they are at 264 and they have not projected Arizona, we would say that is leaning strongly to Trump. In fact, Blois, can you look and you guys look and see what the latest numbers are on
Arizona?
On Arizona, because Fox has already called Arizona.
Right.
You know, that they are one of the outlets.
With 76.2% reporting in Arizona, Donald Trump leads 49-46%. It's about a 60,000 vote lead. I don't know Arizona that well, but it looks like what county is Phoenix in?
Maricopa.
Maricopa has gone Trump. And then Scottsdale is.
That would be Maricopa, too.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, that's what I thought.
That's
so,
the major area.
So that's the major population center, and that goes for Trump in a big way. And in that county, 85% of the votes are in. Trump is beating Clinton 49-46%. So
I mean, circle back, too, because Kyle looked at it again. AP has not called Wisconsin. So that is where they are short of the 274.
Yep. So I just looked at the Wisconsin numbers again. I mean, she's down by 80,000 votes in Wisconsin.
With what percentage?
About 96% counted.
So how does she pull that off?
Well, it just, there are different states and different counties have different rules about how they count early votes, how they count absentees. And so it could be that there's boxes of votes out there waiting to be counted because they're late. I've texted several friends and former legislators in Wisconsin who say they're confident as Republicans, but yeah, they're not sure yet because there's still a lot of counting to be done in Dane and Milwaukee County. There is one other breaking news that I just want to let listeners know about. State Senator Kevin Dahl down in the Northfield area appears headed for a loss, which would put Republicans in control of the Minnesota Senate.
Wow, there you go.
Is that a large, so not in charge, but on Dahl himself losing?
Yeah. I mean, that's Northfield. That's Carleton College.
Yeah.
Although the surrounding and rural areas of that district turn
right
Republican, and again, if Trump was drawing out those votes, that would explain it. I mean, that's a district that Senate Republicans were targeting and the outside groups were spending money in. It was down the list, but it was still one that was considered in play. That was a district that when he won that seat, originally he had a recount. So, I mean, yep, he won it and it had been a very close margin to begin with. So not a huge surprise. But, you know, certainly if that's the seat that puts the Republicans in control of the Minnesota Senate, that's a big deal because it also shows that potentially turnout on the college campuses was not what Democrats would have hoped for, because yeah, Carleton and St. Olaf down there tend to, you know, play a major role in the outcomes of elections.
He's down by 2,500 votes with 96% reporting. So that's even outside the bounds of a recount.
Back here to Wisconsin. Kyle is just looking at some of the data, too. 16% of Dane County still out.
Yep.
Hillary, 70% of the vote there.
Yeah.
16%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the scenario for her to win right now, Catherine, is minuscule. I mean, you think about, I saw Kellyanne Conway on multiple networks yesterday morning saying we have six different paths where we see a victory. The major idea of all of them was win a higher percentage of the battleground states by quite a bit, which must were Florida, must Ohio, right? And then you needed to win one minimum of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, or Minnesota. As we sit here at 12:45, she doesn't have a single one of them in her victory column at this point. She has a lead here in Minnesota, but because Dakota County is going to bed, we're not going to have a projection. We have a couple outlets that have called Wisconsin. We have AP that has called Pennsylvania. We had the one outlet, the Detroit Free Press, calling Michigan at 8:20 our time. But as of the numbers right now, he has a lead in that state. He might end up winning and approaching 290 to 300 electoral votes. No one saw that. Zero. Donald Trump didn't see that.
As a good Democrat, I'm holding on to my memory of going to bed in 2000. And I thought that one person was going to be president and woke up the next morning and found out that wasn't the case, right?
Yeah, right.
There are still, as Boyce just said, a lot of places, we're counting fast tonight. We're doing this as fast as we can. We're trying to get these results and count them as accurately, as quickly as possible. But there are different rules in different places about when to count absentee ballots, when to count early votes. Minnesota, you now when you vote early, although it's not early voting, it's absentee voting with no excuse, they count your ballot right away.
Yeah.
And that's a secure thing. Other states, that's not the rule. I'm holding on to there's going to be a number of challenges. A lot of this is still too close to call for most of the outlets, and I think that the numbers are going to bear out to be very, very close.
Anybody, do we know historically how often in a presidential race there was a mandatory recount, and when they had a recount, the results flipped?
Not in my knowledge. I'm looking at the professor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only mandatory recount I know of in a presidential race was Florida in 2000.
But that was picking. And remember, the criticism was that the Democrats, when they were going to court, they were picking the more favorable counties to them.
But it was an automatic recount.
Yeah.
Right. That was right.
It was an automatic required recount.
But the whole state was never recounted.
Correct. The whole state wasn't. The data...
But that was not the decision of the Democrats. That was the decision of the Florida Supreme Court.
Correct.
Right. And then the criticism of the Democrats was, why are you picking the certain states as opposed to calling for the entire state?
Right.
Right. So that's... Adam, do you remember? I'm trying to think of a time either in our lifetimes or before, and a lot of it... There isn't the major push because the potential race isn't swung solely on that.
Well, and let's be clear. We have, other than Bush Gore, we haven't had a presidential race this close in modern times.
Yeah.
In 100 years.
By the way, in the end, when we finish this, when we get the final totals, we don't know how close it's going to be.
Bush. No, we don't.
Because he could win Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and it's not
close.
It's a decisive victory.
Right.
And it would say the polling was, you know, he's going to have to find the...
it was rigged.
Dewey beat... Yeah, it was rigged. He's going to have to find the Dewey beat Truman newspaper headline and come out with it.
I bet you he's got a few copies of the Detroit one already.
Oh, gosh. And he's silent on Twitter still. And they must be...
He's trying to figure out what he's going to do now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's go to CBS, and we will give you more information on what is turning out to be one of the more memorable presidential election nights. It is the 58th presidential election in our history, and we are edging closer and closer to these words. President-elect Donald J. Trump.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
I'm absolutely excited for a Trump presidency, and I'm encouraged by the victories in the states that we've seen so far.
And supporters of Donald Trump have much reason to feel that way at this hour at his New York headquarters. 244 of them, to be exact. Our latest CBS News count of electoral votes, which now has Trump needing just a couple of the outstanding battleground states to claim victory. A very different tone at Hillary Clinton headquarters a couple of miles away. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is there.
It's like all the air has been sucked out of the room and everyone is holding their breath. It's almost entirely silent here. No one thought that this race would be coming down to a state like Wisconsin. And here's why. Back in 2012, President Obama won that state by 7 points. In 2008, he won it by 14 points.
And with a closer look at just what has been happening in those so-called battleground states, joining us live from one of them, Florida correspondent Peter King.
Well, Tom, there are five battlegrounds left, and Trump is leading in four of them. Wisconsin and Arizona are leaning Trump. Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Hampshire are still toss-ups. That's a total of 61 electoral votes there. Also to be determined, Minnesota, a toss-up with 10 votes, and Alaska edges to Trump with 3. Tom?
All of this going just about against every poll before the election. Republicans also appearing to keep control of both houses of Congress. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foti.
Election night in Minnesota, sponsored by Hamlin University on News Radio 830 WCCO. You're listening to Election Night in Minnesota on News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO.com.
We have two folks who apparently are going to speak at the various headquarters. At the Clinton headquarters, John Podesta, campaign manager. He has been in the Clinton circle for decades. Outlets are reporting that John Podesta is going to speak. And then CBS is reporting that Donald Trump himself may be getting ready to speak at his headquarters. And I'll say this, the New York Times, while we're in a break, they joined the Associated Press in projecting that Donald Trump has won Pennsylvania. But again, their math, again, doesn't put him over 274. It seems over 270, excuse me. It seems inevitable, but they're another outlet that has given Donald Trump Pennsylvania in one of the biggest shockers of the night.
Indeed, and I think that is starting to show that they feel confident in Michigan or Arizona to go their way, or Wisconsin if they start to look at the map. And since it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I think I can make this joke.
Sure.
Do you think WikiLeaks already has the speech?
Yeah. Ryan McClung, what do you think the Bernie Sanders supporters are thinking tonight?
Oh, man. You know, this is something that I've been talking about a lot recently, and that is that on the Republican side of this election, the enthusiasm and energy and excitement was with Donald Trump. That's why he won the primaries. He fired people up, and they came out, and they voted for him.
Not traditional Republicans, right? Many of them, right?
And on the Democrat side of this election, the enthusiasm and excitement was with Bernie Sanders.
Yep.
And he was the one who fired him up and had big crowds and all of that. Now, I think he did his best to campaign alongside Hillary Clinton and try to pull his coalition in with her.
He said all the right things.
But, you know, ultimately, there was still, I think, a lot of disaffected Bernie Sanders voters out there who just, you know, felt like Hillary wasn't progressive enough for them. She wasn't going to do, you know, go as far as they would have hoped. And so I do think that enthusiasm issue might have played itself out here. But what are you going to do? I mean, she won the primaries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she won the way that it's set up. And so, you know, she overcame that and was their candidate. In our Humphrey School class, you know, it's mostly Democrats, of course, because they're people getting their master's degree at the Humphrey School. So yeah. It doesn't attract a lot of Republicans.
Yeah.
And of those Democrats, many of them are Bernie Sanders fans.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing a lot of Donald Trump supporters are not in your class.
Not a lot of Donald Trump. Although, so for a class of 11 master's students, we asked them for their predictions yesterday at class, and only one predicted that Donald Trump would win, and that one was not supporting Donald Trump. They're just scared that he was going to win, but predicted it nonetheless.
Does that person get a bump in grade
I think
in some
an
way?
Automatic A.
Hey,
I think
Carter,
that's pretty much
if you pick this one, don't you get something?
I would think so, yeah.
Catherine, are we going to find out among the various review of this race if Trump ends up winning? That many of the Sanders supporters just couldn't do it. And even when we look at WikiLeaks and that information that came out and who it affected, maybe it's even the Sanders supporters who felt like, yeah, it was rigged. It was rigged against our guy. And many of the our view of her and banking and our view of what she said publicly versus behind the scenes, that whether you agree with it or not, many of them were upset by that and decided not to vote.
Maybe. That's not it's not how I'm feeling at the moment. I do think that, I mean, Bernie Sanders, starting with Bernie Sanders and most people who supported him were showed up to vote against Donald Trump because they would never tolerate a candidate with the views on immigration and gay marriage and women's rights and all the things that that are really core to most Democratic voters. I have a hard time believing that the same people who believe in Bernie Sanders would vote for Trump in that way. And I think that, you know, what we're seeing, what we've been talking about tonight is like extraordinary overperformance of Trump in places that we just didn't expect. And it was less about how Hillary performed. Who would have thought that Trump would be doing so well in so many of the rural parts of the country?
Let's jump in right here. We'll give you a brief pause and then get to CBS, and we'll return at 1:03 on a night when Donald Trump appears to be our next president.
You're listening to Election Night in Minnesota on WCCO and on FM at 102.9 KMNB HD2, Minneapolis.